Hi, my name is Lloyd Lockridge, and I'm the host of a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. In this podcast, I'm going to have people on to tell unusual and sometimes far-fetched stories about their families.
I've heard my whole life that she invented the margarita.
And then we're going to investigate those stories and find out how much of it is true.
He gets a patent 1 month before the Wright brothers. Oh my God.
Please follow and listen to Family Lore, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Welcome in, Brian Masurowski here with you until 10 o'clock or so on WBEN. Thanks for hanging out with me here. Should be a fun one, even with the snow outside. Unbelievable weather we're having today. Can't believe it. I forgot to ask Jimmy for some. Did you know the B-52s are on their last tour? Their farewell tour. Have they done one before? They've been a band for 45 years. No one puts a smile on your face like the B-52s. They're so ridiculous that I think you can't help but go and at least enjoy two songs. I don't know if they have any more, but those two, that would be fun. They're on their farewell tour. I think they're going to like three cities. I'm not like being facetious either. They hit Las Vegas like 7 days in a row, and then they're on just a few more places. It is wild. And this is also in the news this morning. Delta Airlines is trying to push back. There's attempts to unionize flight attendants. Obviously, everything we've heard over the last 2 years, right? What's been going on in flights? People have been acting crazy. So naturally, right? There's a lot of flight attendants saying, hey, we got to start pushing for better working conditions. And I was unaware of this. Delta, to kind of push back, is going to begin paying cabin crews during boarding, which would be a first for a major airline. I was unaware of this, that across the airline industry in the U.S., hourly pay for flight attendants starts when all the passengers are seated and the plane's doors close. That's why they're in such a rush to get you in your seat. No, but I had no idea, which seems kind of crazy, right? Because you think about it, your life as a flight attendant, you're anybody on board that plane. You don't get paid until the doors close, everybody's in their seat. But think, you have to get there well in advance. Be one of the first people on the plane. I'm sure check some things out, seatbelts and everything, to make sure that they work. You're helping people board the plane, telling them where to put their bags. You're doing all this work, and you're not getting paid for it? I had no idea until this news story on Delta is going out. Now, Delta said they're making the change. Starting June 2nd, all flight attendants will be paid during boarding, so they'll be paid for that work that they did. They'll be paid 50% of their regular wages. Come on. 50%. Is that supposed to make them feel better? But I had no idea that flight attendants were not getting paid until everyone was seated. Now I'm going to get in my seat that much faster on the plane, just so they can shut the doors and people can get their paychecks. Thought that was interesting this morning. But no, another one of our big stories, and it's been a story that's been talked about really around the country over the past week. And that is this shortage in youth sports officials. Now, this has been going on for a couple of years, but it's reached somewhat of a breaking point here in the U.S. and even in Western New York, where they're running into a shortage of officials for whether it's Little League, high school, I mean, you name it. And the number one thing to blame, or that they're pointing out, is abuse of officials. Abuse of officials being blamed for the referee shortage. They say a lot of the older refs aging out, retiring, not wanting to do it anymore, and they're having a hard time getting younger people interested in becoming a youth sports official. Because they're saying it's just not worth it. You know, even if the pay is okay, it's not worth taking the abuse from coaches, from parents, and from players for whatever it is that you're getting paid. I am not surprised at all that we've reached this point. And I want to know if we're ever going to fix it. Because how many times have you had the conversation with somebody or has the topic come up of misbehavior at youth sports games? I mean, it happens all the time, right? Usually it's directed at parents. Parents behaving badly while they're watching their kids play or acting outrageous. But it's, I mean, almost stands to reason that officials would eventually say, I've had enough, it's not worth it. None of these people at the youth level are full-time, it's not a full-time job. You're doing this for an extra buck or two, or because you really like the game. And there's only so much you're going to put up with before you say, yeah, you know, I'd rather just not do it. Now, I am not surprised this was an issue because I've told this story a couple times before. I mean, this happened to me. I spent one game as a Little League umpire at Mellott Little League. One game. It was all it took for me. I went back. They got the job. Wasn't that hard to get the job. They needed umpires pretty bad. And, you know, here I'm thinking, look, I know what's going on. I know a ball from a strike, generally speaking. I know how to, you know, I could tell out or safe on a close play at a first or the plate. I think I can make that distinction. Let's get up for it. And the pay was pretty good. It was like, I don't know how many, like 25 bucks a game or something. Maybe I'm just pulling that out of thin air. But it was not that bad for me in high school because I was in high school at the time. So I get my T-shirt, get my hat, get ready to ump a ball game. And my first time out there, you know, things are going okay. You know, I hear from, and for me, it wasn't the parents. I didn't hear it from the parents. It was a game between, it had to be like 8 or 9 year olds. It was the first year that they were allowed to pitch themselves. So, you know, I'm keeping that in mind, knowing that we want to not be here forever. It's going to be a little bit of a wider strike zone, right? Because these kids are just learning to throw the ball. And so, you know, I'm keeping that in mind as we're keeping things going. It was from the coaches that I heard, you know, a couple of comments. Hey, ump, what about that strike zone here? Or, you know, something like that. I'm like, all right, I just ignore it. I let it roll off my bat. And then a play happens and, you know, somebody hits the ball up and I don't know, a play is made. My memory is a little fuzzy as to the play itself. But I'll never forget the coach coming out after a play was made in the middle of an inning. And these are like 8 year olds. And this, by the way, to compare this story to the abuse that's out there, this is like nothing compared to what umpires and officials have to deal with. But the coach comes out in the middle of an inning and says, so, hey, aren't we going to play infield fly rule there? And I just looked at him, and I go, no. We're going to play baseball. Ball strikes, outs, runs, a walk, a strikeout. That's what we're going to do here. Like, I'm not digging into the rule book. They gave me a T-shirt and $20 and told me to get out here so you can have a game. So, no, I'm sorry, in the first year that the 8-year-olds are pitching, we're not playing the infield fly rule. And, you know, maybe that's my mistake. But that was my wake-up call. And then, you know, a couple of, it was after the game. You know, so one of the coaches, same guy probably, every single time, you know, had some words like, hey, you might want to do this or whatever. And that was all it took for me to be like, well, it's not worth it for me. I'm never doing this again. Because I knew that that was just like the tip of the iceberg. I was out there, and it was little kids trying to have fun, learn the game of baseball, get a few hits in, throw some pitches. I mean, I got the third baseman sitting down, you know, kicking the dirt. And the coaches are complaining to me about, you know, something deep in the rule book. I didn't want to deal with it. I thought if this is my first game, what's game 2, 3, 4 going to look like? So that's when I said, all right, I'm done. I don't want to deal with this. I don't want to find out. And that's nothing compared to these stories that I've seen online. A quick search brings, it is ridiculous. And that was, I said, that's the tip of the iceberg. Because that's a complaint. I mean, it goes down to physical violence. Parents, coaches, or players even, waiting for officials out in the parking lot after a game because of a call that was missed or something like that. What is the worst you've seen? And are you surprised that apparently nobody wants to be an official anymore? 803-0930 to join me here on WBEN. 803-0930. You can send me a text or head over to our Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. Give me a call as well. 803-0930. Someone else saying, my young teen son was an ump for T-ball. Parents and coaches were brutal to him. He quit baseball altogether and finished up his ump job. That's one of the texts that come through. And you say T-ball, like people are surprised, and I'm no longer surprised in that. For T-ball, you probably shouldn't even have an umpire, right? Is there even a purpose? Can't we, on the T-ball level, as coaches of two teams, at one organization, by the way, I mean, I don't think you're playing a competitive travel T-ball, are you? I might be mistaken on that, by the way, with how crazy youth sports has gotten. But can't we, you know, as two coaches in a T-ball league or coaches pitch, kind of get together and, you know, do this without an umpire? There's a level of trust there that, you know, we're all in this. Nobody's trying to screw the other team in T-ball. But apparently not. There you go, T-ball. Coaches and parents, brutal in there. And then hockey parents. I've gotten a few hockey parents as the most insane people. Text messages. Someone saying there's never-ending stories with hockey parents. And I feel like that's the common thing, right? You're around the country, you see this, and I think it's at the baseball diamond. That's where you see the signs posted. And if you're looking at a national news stories about parents behaving badly or an umpire being attacked or something like that, it's usually at the baseball diamond. Here locally, the more stories I hear on this, more and more it's hockey parents. And I do think there's probably a reason for that. Because hockey is, that's a big time effort from hockey parents. I think as a parent, the more effort you're putting in, the more money you're spending, probably the more serious you take it. Even if your child is at a level where you shouldn't be taking it all that seriously. And you're hanging around, it's maybe you're a little ornery, right? Upset. It's 6 a.m. and you have to go to the rink. You're waking up at all hours, taking your kid all over the area for ice time. You spend a ton of money. Yeah, maybe you do start off a little bit more antsy than parents of kids at other sports. But the hockey parents, that's the text messages come in. That's where they say the most insane parents are. But I'm not surprised. A shortage of umpires, we've heard the, and it's not just baseball, as we mentioned, hockey. In football, this is a couple years now running where teams have had to totally switch things up, right? You see Thursday night games that you never saw that before. That was like the JV or freshman football team. But no, it's a varsity games being played a Thursday night because there's not enough officials because so many of them have left. And I'm not surprised given what you see at some of these youth sports games. 803-0930, someone chiming in. Whoever said hockey parents are the worst are 100% correct. And I appreciate the honesty of somebody here on the text board. I'm a hockey parent. I found myself getting sucked into the anger and frustration. Finally, one day, I said to myself, it's only a game. Now I sit in the stands, cheer when it's appropriate. Referees and officials are only human. They make mistakes just like the rest of us. And I appreciate somebody who will admit, hey, I was getting sucked into the anger and frustration too. And you have to take a wider look at things and take a step back and realize, okay, referees are human. And not only are they human, they're not world-class referees, no offense. But you're dealing with volunteers or people who are being paid not that much money when you're talking youth sports. I mean, these are not NHL-level officials at the Pepsi Center. That is going to be part in it, right? Where you are going to miss some calls. I would expect that to happen. The officials aren't to the level of the players, generally speaking. You know, there's probably a trend line that follows that exact marker, right? But I like the person who says, look, I got sucked into it, anger and frustration, and another person texting in saying that, hey, you know, kind of backing up what I said a few minutes ago, you pay over $1,000 in equipment, you tend to be a little bit more involved. And listen, I can see how, one, it's your kid. You love him. You want to see him do good. You're cheering for him. Two, took a lot of effort and time to get there. Three, you spent a ton of money on it. You're into it. But it does take, you know, a second to take a step back and realize, hey, this is fine. And by the way, this is not to say that I don't think the referees deserve, you know, any sort of abuse is the wrong word. Maybe some ribbing, right, on the referee's part, because that too is part of the game. Right, I used to love that part when I was playing Little League or soccer. But it's all kind of good-natured in a way. Complaining to the official. You know, there was nothing abusive about it. But you always loved in Little League when, you know, I had one team I'll never forget. A coach said, you know, stop, nobody say anything. Be respectful to the umpire. If there's an issue, I'll take care of it. And I will never forget one game. You know, the coach goes up to it. And this was an older, I mean, this wasn't a teenager out of high school or something. This was an umpire who'd been around a while. And, you know, he was getting into it. And it was cool, and it looked like the major leagues, and he's kicking dirt, complaining about a call that we all thought was bad, and he got thrown out of the game. And our whole team loved it. I mean, it was, I'll never forget it. It was great. He's like, yeah, our coach sticking up for us to the umpire. Love to see it. And, you know, looking back at that, I don't know how much there really was to that, but in my head, when I look back, I'm kind of looking at that saying, all right, here's an older umpire, a coach who's been around for a while, who's a generally mild-mannered guy. In my head, our coach did that just for the show. I mean, he wasn't getting verbally abusive. There was nothing actually threatening about the exchange. It was kind of putting on a show for his team. And I appreciated that. And to a part of it, it's kind of part of the game. I complained to the ref all the time when I was in soccer. But it was never anything abusive. I always did it with a smile on my face. I thought it was funny. And whoever was refereeing, I mean, I don't know for sure if they thought it was funny too. But I know there were a few smiles out there. Well, what do you think? I mean, is there a reason behind the shortage? Is it, well, would you ever become a Little League umpire or a youth hockey referee? Or have you done the job? Have you dealt with the abuse? What's it like? 803-0930 to join me, Brian Mazurowski. I'll be back here on WBEN. Welcome back in here. B. Madison Beamer on WBEN. Brian Mazurowski here with you until 10 o'clock. And we're talking about bad behavior leading to a shortage of officials in youth sports. Have you seen the way officials are treated at some of these games? Are you surprised that nobody wants to be a high school or little league umpire? Or maybe you were or are one of these people wearing the stripes. You have any crazy stories, let us know. 803-0930. Joe Beamer is going to be in for David Bellavia today. It is the least surprising thing in the world to me, Joe, that there would be a shortage of, you know, youth sports officials, whether that's little league, high school, I mean, name it.
We all saw it growing up.
I mean, just because of but I actually didn't, really. I feel like in most of the games I played, everyone was pretty well-behaved, calm. I mean, you'd hear a little bit of it every once in a while, but the videos I see and the stories I hear are so much above and beyond what I ever saw as a kid that is crazy to me.
So I saw it. There's one example I have, but what so I didn't see it every sport I played, but when I played football for one season behind the Pepsi Center, there was a parent, and if their kid was taken out for whatever side of the ball he played on, one play, he would be down at the fence yelling at the coach. You know, at the end of the game, when, you know, there's 5 minutes left, they put the kids that, you know, aren't good, that's when Joe Beamer would get out and get to play a set of downs. That parent would be yelling. We're in sixth grade, be yelling that their child's not on the field and that Joe Beamer, that's awful, is on the field instead of their. I mean, it was every game this parent would go ballistic, for lack of a better term. So that's always been in my head. When I hear stories like this, like, yeah, I was on a team where a parent was like that every game. The coach was this, the ref was that, you know, words that, I mean, weren't new to me, but might have been new to some people in the crowd.
I mean, that's kind of, do you get kicked off of teams for doing that nowadays? I would imagine you would. There'd be some sort of conversation.
Yeah, you would think. I mean, I got kicked off a baseball team once.
How'd you get kicked off of a baseball team?
The coach came to my parents' house and said that I wasn't mature enough to play on an organized sport.
Well, when has not being mature enough stopped you from doing anything?
Exactly. Well, my parents went along with the coach. Oh, yeah, you're right.
I'm not surprised, Joey. I see all these videos of official, and you know, so I am surprised by the ones where it's like violent,
yes,
and it's adults on officials that get violent,
like the high school basketball tournament where they had to clear the gym to play the rest of the game.
Yes, yeah. Yes, that one too. Where there's parents or even players waiting in the parking lot after the game because of some missed call somewhere. It's gotten to a level that I just wouldn't blame anybody. Why would you ever want to be an umpire, a referee on any of these levels? I cannot think of what the motivating factor is anymore.
I mean, I think it would be fun, right? For someone our age to be out there, and if someone starts, yeah, hey, stop it. But usually you're looking for people, you know, that will take $20 and a can of pop.
Yeah, that would be the thing too. I think it would be different if you have like a 30-year-old little league umpire who's umping the 8-year-old games. That is a little bit different than the 16-year-old.
Exactly. Like, I think you and I, someone starts, hey, sorry, there's a game going on, and then you know, a 16-year-old kid's not going to kick a parent out. You or I would say, hey, out, throw. You know, they can do it in the MLB. I can do it at little league. You out of here.
Would I think you get more abuse though if you are older and you're doing that? I think you see it against the high schoolers who are out there all summer long, you know, at Mellott or Babe Ruth or, you know, whatever the little league that you play in is, even though they see it all the time, I think if it's an older ref, there is an attitude of parents and anybody else being like, you know, I can shout at him a little bit more. I don't feel as bad because it's not a kid. So I think you take even more abuse.
Yeah, but you're assuming these parents feel bad at all.
Yeah, that is an assumption.
I mean, their sensor is completely gone, obviously.
Here it is. The other thing, though, is this seems contradictory to say, but I don't think all heckling of the ref should go by the wayside, though. There is a part of the game that I think it still is kind of important, I want to say, because it still is fun to go somewhere and be like, oh, you know, what are you doing out there?
When it gets violent, when it gets the language.
But the thing is, it has to be, I don't want to say good-natured or well-intentioned is not the right word, but it has to be all in good fun, so to speak, where there's no threat of violence. There's no, nastiness behind
there's
it.
There's no running to the fence.
Yeah, there's no running to the fence or shouting or anything like that. But, you know, some light heckling, that's kind of part of it, too, in a way.
Yeah. I mean, when I play beer league softball, I always have a word or two for the ump.
Yeah, you're not being vulgar.
No, of course not.
You're not using bad language. You're, a little bit of heckling goes on.
Seriously, maybe you're too old for this. You know, stuff like that.
Yeah. I think it has, kind of a part of the game.
I agree to an extent. I think, but the videos you're talking about, the things we're seeing, when a parent has to be held back from the official.
People just don't know where the line is.
Unfortunately. And that goes for more than just youth sports in today's world.
I think so. But Joe, you'll be back here in just a few minutes.
Yes. And before I step out, the B-52s had three songs, Brian. I just wanted to make sure. And actually, they were featured on four songs with Shiny Happy People with REM. So just, maybe this will be more of a show than you think.
Well,
instead of two.
You can go see them.
Well, they're not coming here. I checked the tour as soon as you said something.
You can go see them. Your last chance this summer. But Joe Beamer in for David Bell via today, starting at 10 here on WBEN. We'll go to the phones, 803-0930. What's it like for you? Have you been a youth sports referee? Have you seen what we're talking about? Would you ever sign up to do that job? We'll go to Bud. Bud's on WBEN. Have you ever been in that position?
Not as an official, but for about 10 years, from 99 to 09, I had the fortune of working the chain gang for the local high school that my sons played football for. So I not only had the opportunity to hear the coaches and the players, and along with the fans, go after the officials. And it seemed like as the years went by, now it's been 12 years since the last season that I did it, it seemed like there was more of an edge from the fans and the players, too. And a lot of the coaches, I was surprised, didn't really try to stifle some of the language and stuff that the players were kind of yelling on the sidelines, especially at the varsity ranks.
But I think it comes down to there is a reluctance to accept what you're watching or what you're taking part of on some level, right? Where, I mean, people are treating Little League baseball games like you're up there in the major leagues and it's getting down to crunch time, or you're in the stretch run or something like that. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think everybody's son or daughter is going to be the next Wayne Gretzky or the next Josh Allen or what have you, Paige Spiranek in golf. And they're trying to follow a dream that isn't necessarily there. Now, my sons played football. They had a good time. And when it was done, when they graduated high school, it was done. But there are those that just can't believe that their kid isn't going to be the next Pat Kane or Tiger Woods or have, whoever you might want to think they're going to be.
Yeah. Hey, Bud, thanks for the call. 803-0930 to join me here on WBEN. I love the parents who think that they're being reasonable by not going that far. You've all heard this before, right? Well, listen, I know. I mean, they're not going to be the next Josh Allen, but, they can probably get a scholarship. we're being totally reasonable here. They're not going to be signed to Barcelona, but, D1 scholarship, for sure. And they think they're being reasonable. And I think that is kind of the mindset where you end up with these just crazy. And the finger gets pointed a lot on the parents. I think when you get in the high school level, you know, sometimes it's the players too. And certainly it's the coaches as well that are part of this. But parents do take a brunt of the blame. I do think there is reason for that. On our text board, 803-0930, someone chiming in, crazy disrespectful parents make for kids who are bad losers. And, you know, maybe there is a point to that. And to what me and Joe were talking about just the other day, I don't want a full redaction of heckling officials either. Because I do think that that is a fun part of the game. Somebody chiming in at 803-0930 about how their father was a well-respected ref in high school all across Western New York, and he loved getting heckled and jeered at. This person texting in said he thrived on it. He was an amazing official. Everyone loved him. He stood out on the courts as a six-foot-tall guy, so he must have had a lot of respect for the game. And they're saying, well, you know, today's society, people can't handle being joked with. I don't think that's totally true. And I think there is a lot to what you're saying. A lot of people don't mind the jeering, right? And I'm kind of one of those people. I feed on it too as well. You get a couple of jeers or some nudges or people chanting, hey, you know what, you stink. That kind of fires me up. It's like that pro wrestling heel mentality a little bit, where it gets you fired up and you lean into it just a little bit more. But there's a clear line between being heckled, which I think to an extent is fine, and some of the abuse that you're seeing that's discouraging anybody from taking part. And although, you know, I'd agree we've gotten softer generally as a society, it's people are less accepting of criticism than maybe they once were. But I do think a vast majority of people, you know, will take a little bit of criticism, a little bit of heckling, just fine. But it's when that crosses the line to, you know, being extremely vulgar, you're shouting at the top of your lungs, it gets to threatening language, or somebody's screaming in your face, that's a totally different story. And that's what you kind of deal with here. A little heckling of the refs. I mean, you know, again, if you're an umpire, and this is what I was expecting. You know, I told that story at the beginning of the show. I was expecting the players to get on me because I remember playing in Little League. That's what I love to do. You have to heckle the umps a little bit. And, you know, when you're 8, 9 years old, I mean, it's fun. And if you're 16 plus years old and you can't handle a little heckling from some 8-year-olds, I mean, you're not cut out with it. I was ready for that. I wasn't ready for, you know, the coaches being the most serious people in the world. 803-0930, Bob is in Tonawanda. You're on WBEN. Bob, would you ever sign up to be a youth sports official nowadays?
Well, I actually was. I've kind of decided not to anymore. Part of it was my knee was giving me problems, but the other thing was I did do Little League football this past year for Section 6, and you know, I did girls basketball previously during the pandemic. It was this, you know, like modified type of age group, and that wasn't too bad. But the Little League football it was unbelievable. And I did work with some older senior officials who did the high school football. And believe it or not, the high school football is not as bad as you think compared to the Little League football. When I had to deal with the Little League football, it was unbelievable. My girlfriend came to one of my games. She could not believe how bad the parents and the coaches. It was mostly the coaches and the assistant coaches. Like the head coach a lot of times would try to control, but you'd have like 7 or 8 assistant coaches. And this is a Little League football, okay? And a lot of it was like, come on, like you said, you want to let the game continue. You know, as far as line of scrimmage play, when they're moving up and down and they're moving, they're little kids trying to get their 3-point stand on the ground. And yet these coaches are like, oh, he moved. And they're calling all these things like you want to be like the NFL with pass interference. And then it's like, are you kidding me right now? Let's just keep the kids safe. But yet the parents would be F-bombing and doing everything. And I was like, you know what? And I can't stand this one official. He sucks. You know, this. It was just so many things. I was like, it's not, the money isn't terrible, but
it's just the abuse. And I, if it wasn't for my knee was giving me problems. It was aching. It was, you know, I had a little bit of an issue there. I thought I could handle that. But so most of it was medical. But I tell you, I know they need officials and they really want them. And young people, hopefully, maybe younger people can get back into it, because it's just the abuse, though. I would say that's the biggest thing that the coaches, the assistant coaches sometimes, especially in football. It was more abusive in Little League football than it was in high school football. I can tell you right now, there's a lot more respect at Section 6 for the officials, and the head coaches know that, and they keep control of things. It's the Little League when you first get started, and I think that weeds some of these people out, like myself. I mean, if you start in Little League, you have to start in Little League to get to high school. But if you're taking abuse at that level, it's almost like, well, I don't want to deal with this. You know?
Yeah, I hear you, Bob, and I'm impressed that there's anybody signing up right now. You know, to this other point, though, I do think there is room in sports, though, for some heckling of the officials. I still do think that's part of the game, but there is a line, obviously.
Well, you know, if you talk to senior officials, and these guys maybe call in, the guys who I worked with, or I tried to, were mentoring me, they were great guys, older guys, but they got a great sense of humor. They know how to take the stuff, goes off their backs. They had good relationships with the coaches. It was a great story to hear. It's like, like bar stories, how they kid around with the coach about this call, that call. But they've had relationships with these guys for so long, and it's a nice thing, It's a good give and take back and forth. That's fine. But like I say, when you're first starting off and you don't have relationships with these people, and it's just a little league and you're trying to grow yourself to get to the point where you can get up to the higher levels, but you're taking such abuse at a young level, you don't have a rapport with these people. And it's like, I don't know, some of the people get turned off, how it is, a weeding out process. I can see it. I can see how people get burned out of it or just say, what the hell am I doing,
Yeah, for sure. Hey, Bob, thanks so much for the call. I think you kind of started to hit on a good point there, too. That might be the mark of a good coach, right? If you're you don't know this ref who's going to be around, hopefully, for a while, I mean, at least the season, and you automatically start berating them, and that kind of says a little something to you. There is room for, if you're a coach to an official, some, I like, as the one texter pointed out, constructive criticism. That's a funny way of putting it. But, you do have that, a little back and forth, give and take. Some jabs being thrown between coaches and refs, but you do that after you build up a relationship. And then at the end of the day, it's, listen, no harm, no foul in the spirit of the game. If you're doing that right off the bat, going after somebody without knowing who they are, I think that's the mark of a bad coach. You got to get to know these people a little bit. And I was just reminded of this when we had our last caller on. I almost went to berate an official. And it was actually for being too good. Because when he was talking about, you have to know the game you're officiating. And he was talking about, people wanting to blow the whistle for a false start. The kids, might have been wiggling in their three-point stance a little bit. He's like, chill out. They're learning the game. If we throw a flag here, we're never going to get out of here. But that reminds me, it was actually the 11-day power play a few years ago. And I stink at hockey. I'm terrible. So I cheat a little bit, a lot of it, of course. And I got blown for an offside. And it might have been offside. I don't think it was, regardless. But I remember it was a very close call. And my reasoning for, I must have yelled something out. I probably yelled out something I shouldn't have. I went back to the bench. I got a mixed reaction of chill out or, that wasn't offside. But my whole thing was, I thought this was a charity hockey game. What are you doing blowing me offsides at any point in the game? You keep it respectable. You play, no one's cherry picking all the way down the ice or anything. But at the end of the day, you're calling a toe line offside on me? I didn't, I might have screamed out, but immediately came to my senses. Said, I'm not going to go after any one of the volunteer refs. But there's a big part of that, too. you know, get a sense of the level of the game. And that goes for whether you're an official, a coach, or certainly a parent from everything I've read on our text board this morning. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'll be back tomorrow. Joe Beamer up next on WBEN.
The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.